Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to the Intercooler Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Intercooler Podcast with me, Dan Prosser, Andrew Frankel, my co-host. This is episode 209.
Yeah.
And we're talking about fun for £5,000.
Yeah.
The used cars, the fun used cars that you can buy for £5,000.
Yes.
We like to bring it back down to earth sometimes, don't we? Because in this line of work, it's so easy to find yourself talking about very, very expensive cars very, very often.
McLarens and Ferraris.
Yes.
Yes.
But also, even when we're talking about modern hot hatches or sports cars, everything seems to have become so expensive, that you're talking about £40,000 cars, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, well, we don't spend an awful lot of time talking about EVs, but also, it's really sort of, not fun, not sporting, not recreational, just modern, everyday, what we might call bread and butter cars. They are so expensive these days.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So let's not talk about them anymore.
No, let's talk about how much fun you can have for £5,000.
Yeah, and you can. That's the point, isn't it?
Yeah, you really can.
Yeah.
I was pleased, actually, with what's out there for £5,000. What I did was, right, I went on the Piston Heads Classifieds. I selected all makes and all models.
Oh, blimey.
Then it's very clever, actually, the sort of filtering you can do on the Piston Heads Classifieds. I selected manual gearbox.
Oh, okay.
Then I selected under 10 seconds to 60 miles an hour.
Okay.
And then I chose between £4,000 and £5,000.
Yeah.
And that gave me 4,600 results. And I thought, okay, that's a bit too broad.
Yeah.
I made one change. I dropped it from under 10 seconds to under 9 seconds to 60 miles an hour. And that cut it down to 442.
No, really?
From 4,600 to 442.
So 9 in every 10 cars would disappeared.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's weird, isn't it? You just make that one change. 1 second quicker and you get rid of a load of stuff.
Okay, I did it a completely different way.
Go on.
I applied a different set of filters. So when you go on there, there's, you know, they list all the cars by their manufacturer.
Yeah.
So you click on a manufacturer, and I did do the 4 to the 5,000 there. And then it just lists all the models. So if you're going to sort of Mercedes or whatever, then you can sort of think, well, I'm not going to bother with C-classes or anything else. And then you might find something a bit strange and quirky. And I found that, even if you're not looking for anything to buy, I just find it I just find it a really fun way of passing the time.
Yeah, it is.
Just realizing just what bargains still out there. And also the other thing I think we should say, and we've said it before on this podcast, is that, you know, secondhand cars are not getting any cheaper at the moment because people are increasingly choosing to hang on to them rather than to spend more money on a car they don't really want, which is the sort of story of the modern car industry. But even so, despite that, there's still some really cool cars out there you can buy for not a lot of money.
It's so easy with this kind of discussion to default to hot hatches.
Yeah.
And I have done.
I was going to say, I think you'll find I might have done too.
Lots of mine are hot hatches. But I did try intentionally to look for other stuff because you can buy other stuff for that sort of money. Saloons, sports cars.
And the other thing I did was I applied quite a broad definition to the word fun.
Okay. Oh, did you?
Yeah. I wasn't just looking for cars which will oversteer if you lift off the throttle.
Mm.
I wasn't looking actually for cars that have a particular acceleration time. I was looking for cars that I would enjoy driving,
yeah,
for whatever reason that might be. And there are a couple on here which wouldn't come under anybody's traditional category of fun at all, but I would just kind of be interested to be knocking about in them. I would enjoy driving them, so that would in itself make them fun.
Well, that's great. So hopefully we've got some different cars on our list.
Yeah, I suspect there's going to be a fair bit. Because so just to make the point, we have not compared and contrasted before we came on.
No.
I haven't got a clue.
We absolutely haven't.
No.
Okay. Well, this is a fairly traditional, perhaps predictable one to get us started. I found for 4995,
yeah,
which actually, thinking about it now, might be quite strong for one of these. It was a 2002 Renault Sport Clio 172. But a lovely low mileage one, 47,000 miles, two keepers,
yeah,
two owners. Totally standard, unabused
nice car,
the ad says. 4995, maybe a bit rich, but
I bet you it's a rare car now.
I think, one in that condition,
yeah,
that hasn't been modified. Whether that's well or badly, that is going to be a very, very rare car.
Yeah.
And I mean, those things, I think if you only drive it briefly, you're going to think, I'm sat on top of this thing, not in it. The steering wheel is almost flat like a bus.
Mm.
And you just think the seating position is so bizarre, but you have to get into it. You have to give yourself a bit of time. And then you realize that when you're clipping along a good B road in one of those, you're having a ball.
I used to race one of those a bazillion years ago. And okay, it had some race bits on it and yeah, a slightly hotter engine. But it wasn't that different. And they're just because they're light and they're fundamentally well engineered by people who know how to do it. They're just really, really good fun.
Mm. Yeah, I think
that's and I also think with those sorts of cars, because, you know, people, you know, talk about, you know, Clear Williamses and all the other, you know, trick stuff that came after that. Those are the sorts of Clears that get stuck in the shadows of their more illustrious vaunted,
yeah,
and actually that's quite often, you know, a Williams is a fantastic car, but I don't know what you pay for a Clio Williams now, but
five figures.
Yeah. Easy. lots oh yeah strong five figures, and for a fraction of that money you can get a car which is 90% as much fun to drive,
yeah and at a bit least more modern and,
yeah,
you know, possibly more reliable. Yeah, I think that's fantastic. Do you want to give us one?
Yeah, okay. Same year. Yours was 2003, yeah?
Two.
Okay, this is 2003. 76,000 miles.
Yes.
£4,990.
Mm-hmm.
BMW 318 TiSE Compact.
Ooh. So this is E36? Or was that a 46?
It's a 46.
So with a little tiny squinty headlights.
Not a pretty car.
No.
Good fun to drive.
I remember being driven on a frozen lake in Sweden.
Oh, there you go.
By a chap called Connor Flynn. Phenomenal driver, rally driver, Pat Flynn's son. It was dark. And they had the, you know what they do on the frozen lakes? They carve the tracks into them.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal fun. And he drove me around that lake in one of these BMWs. It was a 325, I think, so it had a straight six, yeah, lovely engine.
Yeah, you couldn't get one of those
for
this sort of
money. That's a shame.
Yeah.
But it was one of the most extraordinary displays of driving I've ever witnessed. Sideways, everywhere, through every corner.
At every speed. Yeah.
Even if it was into three figures.
Yeah.
Just absolutely sideways, utterly in control, using every bit of the track and just nudging into the banks to straighten it up. Unbelievable. And I came away from that thinking, do you know what? I think those cars are pretty cool.
Oh, they are pretty cool. And, you know, this 318 Ti, you know, it's a BMW, it's a rear drive BMW hatchback.
A compact one.
But with a lovely fizzy engine, you know, 1.8 litre, 141 horsepower. So quite highly tuned. And just what I remember is just they just had the most brilliant balance to them. I think their rear suspension wasn't that sophisticated, so they probably didn't ride terribly well. But they were nice places to be, and they were just a hoot to drive. And
yeah,
you know, they were so simple and lovely. And I can just remember thinking, well, you don't need a lot more than this.
No.
You just need a nicely balanced car with a fizzy engine at one end and driven wheels at the other, and, you know, nicely built, and off you go.
Mm. That's a fantastic one. I think that's really good fun.
Yeah.
All right. I'm still in hot hatch territory here.
Okay.
The thing about this
is... I'm going to go seriously left field next time.
Okay, good. No, I'm glad you will. The point I want to make, I suppose, about hot hatches is that there are so many. There are so many for £5,000 that are perfectly serviceable, a huge amount of fun, and we're looking at an era where often they will have phenomenal high revving engines. Mm. Honda Civic Type R.
Yeah.
The unloved one, so the FN2.
Yes.
You can have one of those. It might be a bit leggy.
Would yours be costing £4,990 with 106,000 miles on the car built in 2007?
2007?
Yes.
109,000 miles.
Okay, I might have written that down wrong.
4995.
Okay, no, there's more than one, because mine's £5 cheaper, and it's done 3,000 miles less. Ignore him.
Well, get yours.
Get mine.
So this is the...
This proves we have not compared notes.
It does. This is the sort of spaceship-looking one.
Yeah,
it's an extraordinary-looking car.
Yeah. But before they got the turbo engine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Andrew English bought one, and he does write about it for us. And I... They're unusual cars because they're very stiff chassis-wise.
Yeah. They don't really ride.
They don't ride.
No.
They have this super darty steering, so they feel kind of like a touring car. But the engines, the wonderful gear shift and this buzzy, high-revving engine. And in this day and age where you just don't get those anymore, it's becoming more and more appealing, one of those.
Mm. Yeah.
Let me just trot through a couple of others because we're in hot hatch territory.
Oh, okay.
Renault Sport Twingo 133.
Okay, I've got one of those.
Great fun.
Yeah.
30,000 miles. £4,990.
Okay.
There are so many Mini Cooper S's.
Yeah.
So many Clio 197s and 200s and Fiesta STs.
Well, okay, just the Fiesta. Mm. I've got an ST2 down here.
Yep.
Yeah. 2014, 10-year-old car, 94,000 miles. This was the one which claimed to have 180 horsepower, but actually didn't.
More.
It had more, because it had like 197, but they couldn't claim it because it wouldn't develop all the time, because it was on overboost when it did it. But it would develop so much overboost. It's right, it would develop overboost for so long, you'd never be able to have your foot on the floor for longer than that. So it really did have basically the best part of 200 horsepower. The Fiesta ST, which is just, well, everybody knows what cracking cars they
phenomenal
are.
Phenomenal.
4,995. Love it.
Oh, that's just great. What I want to know, though, is what condition those cars are in these days.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it?
And do they drive the way that I remember them driving?
Yeah, we need our mate Mike Brewer back on here. He was on last week, wasn't he?
Yeah, he'd know.
Yeah, he'd know. And how careful do you have to be? Because these things will have been, you know, maybe they would have been around tracks, or they, you know, they're not cars that are likely to have been loved, are they?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. They fall into the wrong hands.
Yeah.
Let me just do one last one because we're in very similar territory.
Is it a Mark V Golf GTO?
No.
Have you got a Mark V Golf GTO?
No,
really?
But I looked at lots thinking, ooh, that looks nice.
I bet you thought that's too obvious.
Too obvious.
Franco will choose that.
So the one I want to offer, and you'll have to bear with me a moment, is a 2012 Vauxhall Corsa VXR Nürburgring. Right? Stay with me.
I think I saw it and I just thought, nah.
Actually, this is almost $5,500, so I'm even breaking the budget.
Okay, I didn't break the budget at all.
70,000 miles. The thing about this Nürburgring, and I'm confident I'm right in saying...
Will it go under 7 minutes?
Not in my hands. But I think it's very similar in specification, mechanical specification,
yes,
to the Club Sport, the VXR Club Sport that I had as a long-termer 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Gosh, that was 10 years ago. They are not the most sophisticated hot hatches. They didn't really ride. Very bouncy kind of ride quality. Weird throttle mapping. Slightly unusual gear shift. Very, very tacky interior.
You're really selling this car, Dan.
Basically, nothing like as fun as a Fiesta ST.
Yeah.
However. They had these limited slip differentials in them. And those diffs totally dominate the way those cars drive and how you drive them.
Mm.
So aggressive, and the way it was sort of hooked up to the steering, so direct, you just drive it on the differential everywhere.
Mm.
That differential influences the behavior of the car as much as the brakes, as much as the throttle, as much as anything else. And so what you find is that when you really start driving those cars hard, you're going so fast, and you will chuck it into a corner way quicker than you imagine you can, get on the power, and it just drags you round. It's so much fun. With that Club Sport, I took it to Blyton and just hoofed it around, and it was mega, mega quick. I took it to a hill climb school, Gersten Down, and chucked it up there. And amongst a load of Porsches and Subarus and, you know, all the stuff you get at these sorts of events, it was the quickest thing. Because you could lob it into the corners, yeah, put your foot down,
and it would just drag you out.
The diff would just drag you out. Yeah. So they are not very sophisticated cars, and in normal use, pretty annoying. But when you get them on a great road or something like a hill climb or a little handling track, they are outrageous fun.
Cool. Can we go in a completely different direction?
Let's abandon hot hatches. Okay,
let me instead take you back.
Go on.
How old were you in 1998?
Well, I turned 12 that year.
You turned 12. So you probably didn't drive a Jaguar XK8 when it was a new car.
No.
Jaguar XK8.
You know, I'm so glad you brought this up, because sometimes you see them in the classifieds or you see one on the road, you just think,
We had, I say we, on Autocar, and actually this would have been an even earlier car, a 1996 car. So this was, yeah, this is basically, this is the car that when the XJ41 project failed, Tom Walkinshaw had gone to Jaguar and said, we can reskin the XJS and create a modern sports coupe for you. And Jaguar had gone, no, we're doing our own one. So Tom buggered off, took the project to Aston Martin, called it the DB7. Once the DB7 had been proven to be transformational for Aston Martin, Jaguar thought, well, maybe we can after all. Created this thing called the XK8 with this 4-litre V8 motor in it. And we had a long term, and I absolutely adored that car. I remember I drove it overnight from London to the south of France. And I put the cruise control on at a speed I shouldn't have put the cruise control on. and I left work in the evening, left Teddington in the evening, and was sunning myself on the Med for an early breakfast the following morning, just overnighted it on my own. And these cars they're just lovely. They handle really well. I was slightly involved with its development. Ooh. Really, I mean, about as slightly as you can possibly be.
Go on.
Because I went on one of those sort of development sign-off drives. And my claim to fame is I managed to get the seat runners extended by a centimetre or two because I just wasn't comfortable in the car.
Yeah.
So that's my great claim to fame. But that's not really why I'm not in it. They're just lovely cars. And okay, fine, this is a, whatever it is, 26-year-old car. This particular example has done 110,000 miles. You can buy it for $4,500. I'm not saying it's not going to be without its issues. And we're not, but to some people, that is actually the realms of the disposable car. You buy a car like that and you enjoy it for as long as you can. And the moment a big light comes on the dashboard and it's going to cost you, you know, an arm and a leg to repair it, then, you know, you just throw it away.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's, I mean, I hope it's not there, but I just love the idea of them. I think they look fantastic. I know they drive really well. That V8, you know, versions of which they still use, although it's about to die, isn't it?
Is it still the same V8?
Ultimately, yeah. And it's the same V8 that, you know, in very adaptive form that Aston Martin used in the Vantage before they got the Mercedes engine and so on and so forth. And it's just a lovely, lovely car. And I just, yeah, there's a little bit of me that just sits there thinking, $4,500. That's a lot of really lovely, beautiful, sweet-sounding, decent-handling, fun, quite quick Jaguar for really very little money.
How are those cars from a sort of dynamish point of view, handling point? Are they just blunt and wobbly? And
no, they're, well, they might be now. Yeah. I'd certainly get the springs and dampers and bushes checked out if I was going to buy one. But they should be. I mean, they're not sports cars. They're GT cars. GTs, they're cruisers cars. But that doesn't mean that they have to be sort of soft and wallow in and have no interest to the driver. You know, they were nicely, you know, they were, you know, the head development engineer for that car was a bloke called Bob Dover, who was a proper serious engineer. He went on to be the boss of Aston Martin for quite a long time. And he knew his onions. And I know from that development drive that I went on, where we had all the rivals, we were somewhere, we sort of drove out of New York and went up somewhere, I can't remember where we went, but, you know, I know how seriously that they took the dynamics. And it was a dynamic sign-off drive, and we had all the rivals, I forget what they are now, but there was an American car there was certainly an SL there, a couple of other things. And the Jaguar was in a different league to them in terms of just how much fun it was to drive. I mean, it might have got a bit baggy over the years, but, you know, there's stuff you can do to sort that out. And it just, you know, the sort of naive, sentimental fool within me just think that's just a really nice car to have for bugger all money.
Mm. We're delighted to be working with Pistonheads, the UK's number one performance and premium used car marketplace, now with a new online auction platform to complement the already bustling classifieds. More and more people are choosing to buy and sell their cars by online auction. Pistonheads' comprehensive auction listings are curated by professionals with in-depth descriptions and stacks of photographs. Bidders can ask sellers questions online and arrange viewings before bidding with confidence, thanks to the transparent listings. If you're looking to buy or you're just browsing, visit pistonheads.com/buy/auctions or click the link in the description to see what's live on the platform right now and what's sold recently. For sellers, you'll be reaching the largest audience of performance car buyers in the UK with Pistonheads. It's safe and hassle-free, and with a realistic reserve, you can be confident your car will have a new owner by a fixed date. No more dealing with scammers or tyre kickers. If you're thinking of selling your car on Pistonheads auction platform, visit pistonheads.com/sell/auctions or click the link in the description, and remember to tell them the intercooler sent you. Oh, it is tempting, and there are a whole world of cars that fall under that category. Now, I think we have to acknowledge that there are sort of two ways of spending $5,000 on a fun car. One is it's almost disposable.
Yeah.
As you say, when something goes wrong, you just chuck it away.
Yeah.
And then you can be quite ballsy about it, can't you? If that sum of money isn't that significant to you, there are so many ways you can spend this sum and get into all sorts of interesting cars. The number of sort of big German saloons or coupes with V8s, there's so many of them. It's something like an old 640i or whatever.
Ooh, or a 2009 635D with £4,495 with 139,000 miles on the clock, for instance.
Yes, there you go. Well done for recalling that one. It's a fun exercise, isn't it? And actually, Richard Bremner has, what does he have, a 645... BMW 6 Series.
645i, I think.
Yeah. And he writes about it. I think he spent about £5,000 on it. He writes about it for us. And it's a very fun exercise. Lots of us would like to be able to do that because it seems like so much car for the money. However, I am not in a position to stick £5,000 into a car, and if I take a bath on it, so be it. You know, that would hurt me.
And actually, it's not a question really of if, it's kind of like when.
It's when.
It? Yeah. I mean, sooner or later, your 1998 XK8 is going to throw a big one at you, isn't it?
Yeah. And if I've got £5,000 in a car that I don't, and I don't trust the car, and I'm waiting for it to go, I'm probably going to stop having fun.
Yeah.
And it's maybe bearable if that car is a weekend car. You've got something else, perhaps something modern, something newer, as your everyday car. So it doesn't really matter if it's a bit unreliable because you're not depending on it all the time.
Yes.
But if it's your only car, that would be an extremely bold move, wouldn't it, to sink your £5,000 into something like an XK or a 645i if it's your only vehicle.
Do you know what you should get?
Go on.
This is your birthday car, 1986.
Yes.
Rolls-Royce Silver Spirit.
Before we move on to the Rolls-Royce Silver Spirit, the point I'm making is that some of the cars we're talking about could be your only car, and they could be reliable and dependable and not cost a lot of money to
keep
them going.
Like a 1986 Rolls-Royce Silver Spirit.
For example. So tell us about those. I mean, just why would you?
Well, you wouldn't. I only put it down here because I thought it was funny.
Yes.
£4,295. It's a Rolls-Royce!
So
it's a terrible Rolls Royce, but it's a Rolls Royce.
What a silver what?
It's a spirit.
So what does that mean? I never know when people talk about shadows and ghosts and spirits and whatever else. What's what?
Okay. So the spirit, basically it's a Bentley Mulsanne. It's a 1980s Bentley Mulsanne, or a Bentley Mulsanne is a 1980s Rolls Royce Silver Spirit. It's the car that replaced the Shadow.
Yeah.
The Shadow. Mm. The Shadow was the first modern Rolls Royce, came in 1965, monocoque construction. Actually, in 1965, a pretty amazing car. Mm. And that struggled on until, I think, 79 or 80, and then it was replaced by the Spirit, which was, you know, similar underneath, but much larger, more ungainly. Didn't actually ride that well. Very low-powered, naturally aspirated, 6 3/4 litre V8. but it's still a Rolls Royce. You can, and apparently this one, it's MOT'd, it works, it runs. Yeah. It's a Rolls Royce for $4,295. And of course, you know, you could go and spend 20 years on that. It would never go wrong. Mm. It would always be absolutely perfect. And it, oh God, can you imagine just how big a world of, there's a company called Flying Spares. Okay, and yes. What they do is they basically either break or salvage really knackered old Rolls and Bentleys. Mm. I suspect you've become quite a good customer of theirs.
Yes,
but yeah, you can get. I mean, I just thought it was funny.
But if that's not a significant sum of money to you, and
disposable Rolls Royce,
just wanted to have some fun,
yeah,
you'd have a great time, yeah. Whether it's weeks, months, or years.
Yeah, you could run it as a wedding car for a few months, probably get your money back.
Yeah, yeah, mm. Yeah. I'm sure you could. That is very fun. I know you've got loads more. I've got a couple more.
Okay.
But they... I didn't want to just stick with hot hatches, right?
Good.
So I've tried to
Good.
Broaden my search a little bit. I'm going to describe a car to you.
Okay.
And you have to tell me what it is.
Oh, God.
This is a 2002 car.
Right.
I think it's got a straight six. Mm. Bond had one.
Okay.
88,000 miles, £4,990.
Z3.
Yes. Well done.
Thank you, fans.
I mean, yeah. Talk to me about Z3s. It's a Bond car. What are you on about?
Yeah. And if you have seen, what was it in? GoldenEye. He drives it for about 5 seconds.
Is it the worst Bond car ever?
It's the worst car that Q Branch has ever assigned to James Bond.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, you, people would say that, you know, the Renault 11 or the 2CV.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, but they don't count.
But of the cars that that Eon Productions, the production company that makes all the Bond films, thought was a worthy car. Mm. I mean, if anything ever smacked of just taking the money, BMW have just piled a bazillion quid. And I mean, it was at the time, it was a completely brand new car, which I kind of not sure... Well, actually, he was a rental, wasn't he? Because he was Daniel Craig in Casino Royale was in a Ford Mondeo for a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a bit of absolutely blatant product placement. The Z3 wasn't much better. It was full of all these gadgets, none of which it ever used. Mm. It sort of bounced along a dusty road going very slowly because they were very... You know, they had a 1.9-litre four-cylinder engine in them, and they just... I mean, after the Z1, which I adored, which was such a... clever, interesting, fun car. The Z3 came along. We all just did a collective sort of... really? It was kind of like an MGF rival.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, is that really what you want from a BMW Roadster?
Did they drive well, though?
No. No, they absolutely didn't. No. I mean, okay, the six-cylinder cars were a bit better because at least they could get out of their own way. And they had that, I think they had that Z-axle rear suspension, so they're kind of okay. But, I mean, this won't surprise you at all. The only one that I ever got excited about was the Z3M.
Yeah.
Z3M Coupe was a funny car.
Mm.
I mean, you know, you could have a right laugh in that.
Mm.
But no, all the other ones just...
terrible. Okay, fair enough.
Oh, I mean, not terrible. Just disappointing. Just sort of...
Meh.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Well, that's not what we want to be advising people to do, is
no.
it? So let's have one of yours then.
One of my... I just wonder how silly you want to be.
Very.
Well, this isn't silly. This is just kind of like interest, because you were talking about all those Cooper S's.
Mm.
This was a car that I was so rude about when it came out, because I just thought it was utterly pointless. I still think it's utterly pointless, but you never see them. And I'm just kind of, I don't know. There's something which interests me now and in the way that didn't then. So this is a 2013, 89,000 mile Mini Paceman Cooper S.
Goodness me.
With the sort of bonkers roofline.
Yeah.
Which basically ensured that nobody in the back could... Did they even have rear seats? They did have rear seats, didn't they?
It must have done, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the one that's based on the club... Ooh, hold on. What was the big one?
No, it's not a Countryman.
Countryman.
No. So this is a Cooper S with a sort of Range Rover Evoque roof gone mad.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. That's right. But it's not the one, the two-seat one.
No.
With the baseball cap on backwards. It's not that one, is it?
No, it's not that one.
No,
I don't think it is.
No.
Anybody now, anytime now, people realise I haven't got the size idea what I'm talking about.
But the Paceman was based on the Countryman, wasn't it?
No, was it?
Well, it was taller, wasn't it? It was a sort of bigger, taller thing. But yes, it had that roof line.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm on such a sticky wicket. I am skating on thin ice, and I'm mixing my metaphors. Maybe I'll go on to something else. Okay, this is completely different. This is completely different. I think this is value.
Go on.
This is value.
Does this come with the AF stamp of approval then?
This actually does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's such an AF car. It's so middle-aged. It's probably the most middle-aged car that's ever been built.
Yeah.
Okay. 58,000 miles, so basically new.
Mm-hmm.
2005. $4,990. Diesel Volkswagen Phaeton.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is what I was talking about when I mean a different kind of
fun. It's not fun in the traditional sense. But if you enjoy being in it.
But they are. My brother had one for a bit. In fact, quite a long time, actually. And they are cars of such... Because this was the car that Volkswagen intended to rival BMW and Audi and Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
They knew they couldn't just do it by being kind of engineering to that standard. They had to completely over-engineer everything.
They couldn't stretch a Passat and be done with it.
No, they couldn't. So they just created this car. And let us not forget that the platform of this car is also the one that underpinned the Continental GT. Mm. Which was so massive and so... strong, and then they kitted it out in such amazing materials, and they're just, I mean, yeah, they were residual time bombs at the time, because why anybody thought that anybody would want to buy a Volkswagen limousine, I have absolutely no idea. It was one of Ferdinand PX sort of mad moments, wasn't it? It was one of those things that proved that even geniuses have their off days. But just to sort of wobble about in one of those, I think you just have a lovely time.
You'd be so comfy, it'd be so refined.
Yeah. And actually, the expensive bits, you know, the engines and the powertrains and the gearboxes and all that, it's all just off-the-shelf Volkswagen stuff.
Mm.
So it might be okay.
Mm.
Might be. I'm not sure if an air spring unit went, you'd necessarily be thinking that. But
that's true.
Yeah.
If you buy a Phaeton, then it's a disaster. Please address your letters.
A. Frankel Esquire. To see if yes. What else? Okay, again, a different sort of fun. No performance at all. But again, I was just surprised you could get one of these. £5,000 will buy you a 1986 Mercedes SL280. So that's an R129.
Yeah.
That's the one that came after what they call the Bobby Ewing.
Yeah. Cool looking car.
You know, the first SL to have a flip over roll cage. You could get a hard top for it, which made it look amazing because it looked like a coupe. It was a very cool car, and they were pretty good to drive. Just nice, cruisy, soft.
So what's a 280, a V6?
Straight six. Yeah, nice, creamy, straight six engine. I mean, no performance at all. If you want performance, you need to get a 500, frankly.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were really quite quick. But again, it's not what you're buying the car for. You're buying it for sunny days, you know, elbow on the windsill, wafting about. Lovely.
I get it. I totally get it. Yeah.
Excellent.
I do.
God, I thought you'd say only a person of your age would say that.
No. I understand. I think we know people with those cars.
I think we do.
And they can be trouble though, can't they? But you sort of expect that.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Okay, here's another one which I think don't think would be trouble.
Mm.
And this is the kind of car that I would never ever have thought I would ever be recommending to anybody, except 20 years on, I just kind of look at them differently because, you know, you're not looking at them as a new car with a rival set and anything else. You're just looking at them as a sort of thing to, you know, a nice old thing. £4,975 will buy you an Audi TT, an original Mark 1 Audi TT.
Yeah, and I looked at a few of these.
And I think I still do think they look absolutely amazing, inside and out. And I just, at the time, although, you know, I never thought they were much to drive, I never particularly got along with them, I never said particularly nice things about them at the time, I did admire the design. I think probably as I've got older, I now admire those elements more than I used to. And the fact that they created this completely bespoke interior and exterior, and that it looked so good, and that it looked like nothing else. And they are more rare sights now than they used to be. And I think one of those original, very early cars, 225 horsepower.
Yeah.
Quick.
Yeah.
Decent.
I actually get it. I really do get it. If you're looking for a sort of reliable, kind of interesting everyday car, and you're not expecting, you know, Porsche Boxster thrills.
Yeah.
I understand. They've got fantastic interiors. I think you'd enjoy that. I do. It's impossible to have this conversation about affordable, fun cars and not mention the little roadster from Japan, the Mazda MX-5.
Well, I deliberately went into this thinking I'm not going to choose an MX-5 because that's what...
It's very obvious.
Yeah.
But I briefly had a look at these a couple of months ago, because I needed a car.
You were thinking about getting one, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually... yeah, in the sort of more sober moments, I realised I can't get away with a two-seater at the moment. It just doesn't fit my life.
Yeah.
But I did investigate it a little bit. And at £5,000, you're either looking at the second generation one or the third. The trouble with the third generation model, the NC, is the unloved MX-5. People have described it as the red-headed stepchild.
We can't say that, can we?
You probably can't anymore.
With formal apologies to any red-headed stepchildren who happen to be listening to this.
I didn't describe it that way. Some people have. But you're quite right. And it is the unloved one because it got bigger, it got heavier, it got more sophisticated, it had more sort of technology on it, you know, traction control, stability control, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So lots of people don't like them. The facelifted ones, after about 2009... are said to be better, much better, and people quite like those. You're sort of scraping the barrel with £5,000 for a facelifted one. I did find one with 120,000 miles, which might be okay. Even those third generation cars, they do rust, so you do have to be careful. But you probably have to stretch the budget just a little bit, but I think that is a reasonable amount of fun for £5,000-£6,000.
Yeah, no, I agree. And actually, I think those cars are better than their rep suggests.
Yeah.
I can remember driving them when you were thinking, actually, they didn't betray the spirit of the MX-5. They just made the car more accessible to a slightly wider bunch of people. Because, yeah, they might have been heavier, but they weren't much heavier. They were still, I thought, true to the original
philosophy. They're still lightweight
cars, aren't they? They were still true to the original philosophy of the car. I quite like the way that they looked. Yeah, I think that's great.
Let me give you another roadster. Now, this is very different category. So an MX-5, the right MX-5, you could buy, if you buy it well and you're very careful, having it checked over and so on, you could run that for not very much money. Mm. It should be reliable.
Yep.
You could use it daily.
Yes.
So that's a sort of sensible way of spending £5,000.
Are you
going to
come up with a really stupid way of spending
£5,000? No, not really stupid. It's a Boxster. So a first generation Boxster.
Our mate Johnny Smith's done this, hasn't he?
I think he spent 1,900 quid or something on it. Yeah. I think that one was I won't say basket case because that's not fair. But
I think it's okay, isn't it? Ish.
Ish. Yeah. But if you're looking at £4,000 or £5,000, you should be able to get something a bit more sensible.
I looked on Piston Heads, and maybe there just didn't happen to be any there when I looked. Like, did you find any?
At 5,700.
Yeah.
But I have seen them lower.
Okay, so this is where my 4 to 5 filter just wouldn't have. I should have put a 5.5 filter in and just said, well, you could probably haggle the 500 quid. Yeah.
Yeah. So you do see them about for £4,000 or £5,000.
So what's that going to buy you? That's going to buy you an original, what is it, 986?
986, yeah. But a 2.7. They were 2.5s initially.
2.5, 204, can't get out of their own way cars.
Yeah, so this is 217 brake horsepower.
Yeah. As opposed to 204, yeah.
Now, if you're not expecting this to be your everyday car, so the odd issue, the odd sort of reliability flaw isn't a disaster because you just don't take it out that weekend until it's fixed, then I think fair enough. But again, it comes back to what we were saying before. If it feels baggy, if the suspension, if the dampers are shot, if the bushes are really worn out, it's almost pointless, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be fun to drive the way it should be.
And it is going to be expensive to put right.
It is going to cost a bit of money.
And the car's not going to be worth that much more because you've done some invisible work underneath the surface.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I am sort of curious about these things.
I would be wary about that kind of car just because it's a Porsche. You know, we know these things you know, it's fine if you've got a, I don't know, a Gen 2 997 you're looking at. You might well take a view that it's worth spending a bit of money on it because the car's already worth something. But when you've got a car which is worth really very little, spending Porsche money, putting it right, money you'll never see again. I'd be really yeah, I mean, I like the idea of those sorts of things. And I think if you're someone like Johnny and you've got something and it is so cheap, the why not, and you know, and that you could throw it away. And that dimension is, you know, does make it very attractive. But I would be just a little bit cautious about doing, you know, thinking, well, I really want a Porsche and a two-seat mid-engine open, and this is the only one I can afford, therefore I better get that one. I think better wait, save up, and buy the best one you can rather than the cheapest one you can find.
Because it might not be the experience that you're imagining. It probably won't be. And I'm sure they have lots of little niggly issues, but they do have big issues as well, don't they? Relating to engines so on.
Yeah, well documented.
And that could be game over.
Yeah.
If you have one of those big issues.
And I suppose you take the view it's a disposable car, you throw it away. The car I wanted to have on my list, I just couldn't find one.
Yeah.
And again, it's probably because I set the filters in a too narrow band. Nissan 350Z.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you might not be able to get one for something beginning with a four, but I reckon you'd not be far off. You know, V6 engine, manual, rear drive, gutsy.
Mm.
Yeah, 300 hot horsepower.
Mm.
It's a lot of car. And yeah, they probably rust too, don't they? But it's not going to cost you Porsche money to repair it.
No, it shouldn't do.
No.
They are good fun.
They're good fun. They skid about. They were conceived for the right kind of reasons. They were built for drivers.
Mm.
Yeah, they weren't built for people who like going around the place going, look at me. They'll be built for people who, you know, want to get stuck in.
Mm. Yeah, I get those. We haven't mentioned RX-8, but we did talk about RX-8s a little while ago.
Yeah, and what do you pay for an RX-8? I don't know.
Oh, they start at a couple of thousand, maybe even less.
Yeah.
But I would think that at $5,000 you're getting
a big podcast segment on RX-8s, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I was probably extolling their virtues. I do love them. I really do. I love the way that they look, and I love that they're very clever cars, and not just because of the engines, but because of the way they're packaged on the inside. And there are people who reckon that they can sort out the engines as well.
Oh, there are. And they don't cost a huge amount to get one of those rotaries rebuilt. So that's an interesting one. But let me offer my last one.
Okay. I'm already out.
Subaru Impreza.
Yeah.
WRX. 2003.
Yeah.
And I remember that as the one that Petter Solberg won his world championship in 2003.
Not that actual car, presumably.
No. No. But it's the blob eye one. Do you remember? Yep, they went from the quite ugly round headlights to the blob. They call them blob eye. Mm-hmm. That was bug eye, blob eye, and then hawk eye.
Right.
That's how Subaru people talk about these cars. Yeah. But it's a 21-year-old Impreza, four-wheel drive, turbo, 105,000 miles, 221 brake horsepower.
Mm.
I've only driven one very briefly. And not very quickly. But I can well imagine that once you get into one and start driving it quite hard, it probably comes to you. You know, if you just drive them briefly and slowly, there's not a lot to love about them.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They're quite rough and ready cars. Even when they were new, they were quite rough and ready cars. They weren't in any way sophisticated. They weren't that quiet. They weren't that comfortable. The interior is pretty cheap. And so you had to use them in a way that played to their strengths.
Mm.
So basically you had to make that engine sing and you had to really work the chassis. And when you did, they were really good.
I'm sure.
Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So $5,000. And that's a practical car.
And it's standard. My worry about those sort of things is whether somebody had messed about them. Because you see so many of them with sort of drain pipe exhausts and you just kind of wonder what people... With any car like that, I would really want to know where it's been and what it's spent its life doing because... I think those sorts of cars are the sorts of cars that get used and abused more than most.
They really do.
Yeah.
So it's one of those you're buying on condition more than you're buying on mileage or year or whatever.
Yeah. And with all these things, seriously, you know, Darren and I, we sit here and we make jokes about these sorts of things. But, you know, ultimately, if you're thinking about doing it, it's still money. It's still your money. It's still, for many people, quite a lot of money.
Mm.
And it's so easy and it's so quick for the dream to turn to a nightmare. It's basically, it can just be sort of one, you know, you're driving along 1 minute and then a light comes on your dashboard and your world just collapses.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we're trying to do here is have a bit of fun and sort of muse about the sorts of cars that we would think about buying for that kind of money. But what we're not doing is saying to anybody, oh yeah, just go and buy this car because it'll be fine. So often it may not be. So just do it with your eyes open, or just be prepared to throw it away.
This has all been very front and center for me recently, because I had to buy a car.
Yeah,
my long-termer went back and I would have been stranded otherwise. And so I've been thinking long and hard about all this stuff. And
you weren't tempted by the 1986 Rolls-Royce Silver Spirit.
It didn't come across. Lots online, of space. Sadly,
your kid would be very happy.
Very
in the back
happy,
of that.
Very comfy in the back.
Yeah, for quite a long time.
But no, in a word. I'm not mechanically minded. I'm really, really not. I'm not confident with that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not confident looking at a used car that's up for sale, you know, poking around and spotting things that might be an issue. Then you can do your research and read lots of buying guides and all the rest of it, but I'm still not that confident with it. And if I had, you know, for instance, a Boxster and it had whatever issue, I do not have the capability to rectify it.
You would have to buy your way out.
Which is why I can't make a case for that kind of car at the moment, particularly if it's my only car. I just can't do it. And so when I was looking at buying a car of my own, I knew I would have more fun ultimately if I got something a bit newer. Got it on finance because I could afford to in effect spend a bit more, get something newer, get something that's warranted. And that's what I've ended up doing. No, we can talk about it briefly now because this won't go out until after I've written about this.
Okay, but just before you, can I just make one point? Just directly relevant to what you were saying is part of enjoying a car is not having to worry about it.
That's the point I was trying to make, yes. Yeah. The moment I have to worry about a car,
it's not, you might as well have it.
If it's not working and it lets me down and I'm stranded, I'd rather it was gone.
Yeah.
I would rather it was gone. I'm not mechanically minded enough to put up with that stuff. I need my car to be dependable. If it's that, it can then be fun. It can then be interesting and all the rest
of it. But that's first, isn't it? That's baseline.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is for me. And so, yeah, we can talk about my car, actually. I wasn't planning to, but we might as well, because I will have written about it by the time this goes out. I bought a little VW Up GTI.
Yes.
It's a fantastic little thing.
Yes.
I bought it, and then a few days later, we were up in North Wales.
Yes.
Photographing and shooting a McLaren 750S and Ferrari 296 GTB.
Yes.
I drove it across the middle of Wales, right through the middle of Wales, on just superb roads. I was howling with laughter all the way because so it's got 115 horsepower, tiny little thing, doesn't
weigh
a great deal. Loads of torque,
yeah,
really torquey. Little turbo three cylinder, so it's got a load of torque. So it's not slow at all, not much grip, but it handles really sweetly. It was just the most
compact,
fun.
It's light,
yeah. And I was on the door handles everywhere, mile after mile after mile.
And you weren't troubling anybody else?
Nobody minds.
No, you're probably not breaking the law.
Not really. No. And when... Not at all. And when you overtake someone, it doesn't seem obnoxious because you're not blasting by in a big roar of noise, exhaust noise. So it's just a hoot. And actually, the thing about this car is that it's our second car at home. I just needed a runaround so that when my wife takes her car to work, I'm not stranded. That was job one.
Yeah. So it's not going to do a huge mileage, is it?
No, very, very low mileage each month. But I couldn't bear just to have something that I wasn't interested in.
No.
And so this absolutely fits the
perfectly. On one of the mornings, we kind of woke up and we had to go off to some location somewhere and we're kind of allocating the car. And I can remember just thinking, I quite like to take the Up.
Yes.
And having already spent a day hooning around the North Wales in the Ferrari and on the McLaren, and you get in the Up. And I think I set off before you for some reason. I was just on my own on those wonderful roads in a car about as different in the sort of great arc of sporting fun cars as you could get to what I'd been in the day before. And I still had an absolute ball in it because it was just nicely engineered. There was nothing nasty about it. There was nothing to annoy you about it. You know, lovely engine, lots of torque, crisp gearbox, just fun, chuckable, you know, trustworthy. And I can remember just getting there and coming out of it and just thinking, that is just a terrific little car. And I promise you I'm not just saying this because because you're sitting there. I hadn't driven one of those since they were new. And I can remember thinking they are, yeah, they were really cracking little cars then. And you kind of think, well, okay, a few years down the line, I revisit this. What am I going to think? But actually, same again. Mm. Great thing.
I'm really, really enjoying it. Mm. It's really fun. I will write about it for the intercooler. Because it's an interesting little car.
Yeah. In fact, you will have done by the time anybody listens to this.
Indeed.
So you can go onto our website and app now and read all about Dan's Up GTI.
Well done. Good plug.
There you go.
Yeah, well, actually, I am going to write about it because I'm really enjoying it and there's a lot to say. So, yes, you can read all about it on the intercooler. So let's leave that one there.
Yeah.
$5,000. Fun for $5,000. Uh-huh. I think we've established that you really can have fun for $5,000.
Definitely.
Lots of options out there. You can be sensible if you like, or you can take bold risks if that's your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And have an awful lot of fun doing it. So thank you everybody for watching or for listening. If you are watching on YouTube, please just hit the little subscribe button. It means you won't miss an episode. If you're listening through a podcast app, just follow or subscribe. It really helps us. Please do that. And we'll be back again next week.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.